Well, sir, it's quite early in the evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook. Vic lounges in his easy chair, languidly leafing through his newspaper, while Sade, newly arrived from the kitchen, seats herself on the davenport and says in a voice of humorous pleading,
"About ready to put on your hat?"
"Beg pardon?"
"Shall I bring you your hat?"
"Is this a continuation of the topic we discussed at the supper table?"
"Sure."
"That topic is dead. That topic is a withered rose whose poor..."
"Yes, you're a withered rose your own self. Come on, let's go to the show."
"Let's don't go to the show."
"You don't like Gloria Golden, I know, but she..."
"Gloria Golden I despise. Gloria Golden I would rather perish than go see."
"She's different in this picture."
"I bet."
"She is. She's a redhead. Every time you've seen her before, she's been a blonde or a brunette."
"Sadie, honey, please. We already discussed this."
"Did you read what the paper stated?"
"No."
"Hand me that section on your lap."
"I don't want to go to the movie show, Dr. Slee."
"Hand me that section on your lap."
"All right."
"Thanks. Listen to this now. Once again, Gloria Golden reaches the dizzy heights of sheer emotion. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania cried when it witnessed her heartbreaking performance in this, her latest drama of soul-searing life."
"What'd Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania do?"
"Cried."
"Hey, hey. I bet St. Louis, Missouri fainted. And Davenport, Iowa went way back and sat down."
"Smoldering Teardrops is the story of how one woman faced the agonizing problem of loving two men. Never before in American moving picture history..."
"That only makes me sad, sick, and melancholy."
"What?"
"That only makes me sad, sick, and melancholy. That only
makes
me..." "It's
supposed to make you sad, sick, and melancholy. It's that kind of a do-funny. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania cried on account of it being so sad, sick, and melancholy."
"I refuse to go. I refuse to go. I said at the supper table, I refuse to go."
"I think you're good and mean.
Remember the last time I got talked to?"
"It's not so terrible often I beg and tease to get taken someplace."
"Remember the last time you made me go see Gloria Golden? On the way home, I made a solemn vow that I'd never..." "Hi,
howdy ho, look who's here. Where you been, Willie?"
"Upstairs in my room, sewing up a rip in my indoor baseball."
"I had the notion you're over at Oyster Crackers or somewhere."
"Hello, Gov."
"Hello, Russell Henny. You're looking fine. Been sewing up a rip in your indoor baseball, huh? Oh, that's great. That's splendid. Let's see the indoor baseball."
"It's still upstairs. I'm not done with it yet."
"Grand, grand. That's the stuff."
"Gov's in good humor, hey, Mom?"
"Gov thinks he'll change the subject."
"Yes, and I will change the subject."
"What you doing with the mirror?"
"I'm going to look at myself a little bit."
"That ought to be a treat."
"Oh, I'm not doing it for purposes of vanity. Got a little plan regarding my hair squirming around in my brains."
"What's wrong with your hair?"
"Nothing. Only Mildred Tittle suggested a new way of wearing it. I'm turning the matter over in my mind. Go ahead with your discussing. I'll just skulk around and gaze at my reflection a while. Pretty quick, I'm going back upstairs and finish sewing up the rip in my indoor baseball."
"How about it, Mr. Holch?"
"How about what, Sadie, honey? How about what?"
"You know, how about what."
"Are we back to that again?"
"Sure."
"You worry a subject."
"Sure."
"You hang on like glue."
"Sure, you bet."
"I refuse to go. I refuse to go. Gloria Golden makes my flesh crawl." "Yeah.
Says here, Gloria Golden is the curly-headed darling of the civilized world. Funny, she'd make your flesh crawl, nobody else's."
"Well, she does, just the same."
"Got the picture down at the Bijou under discussion, huh?"
"Yeah."
"The Smoldering Teardrops?"
"I guess so."
"It's rotten."
"Who told you that?"
"Smelly Clark."
"What's Smelly Clark know about it?"
"Smelly Clark knows plenty about it. He caught the matinee this afternoon. Walked out before it was even over. And that's just about as bad an insult as a picture show can get. Smelly generally sits through the program twice."
"There you are, kiddo."
"You take what a little child says, huh?"
"Smelly's no child, Mom. Smelly's older than I am."
"What didn't he like about the show?"
"Didn't like any part of it. He left the theater definitely discontented."
"Well, he don't appreciate what's good. He's like you are. There ain't airplanes buzzing around or cowboys hollering. He thinks any picture is rotten."
"I'm an airplane cowboy enthusiast myself."
"Let's go, man."
"No."
"Come on.
Let me tell you how punk that picture is. Smelly, give me the lowdown. Gloria..."
"I don't see how you're getting any indoor baseball sewing done sitting here, Russell."
"Oh, I'm going back upstairs in a second. Just taking time out now to make a decision about my hair."
"What's the matter with your hair?"
"I may decide to wear it a little different in consequence of a suggestion made by Mildred Tisdall."
"Fiddle."
"Well, that's what I said myself when she first brought up the subject, but I got to thinking about it, and there may be something in what she says."
"What'd she say?"
"She feels I should wear my hair pompadour."
"It's too short for pompadour."
"Well, I can let it grow, can't I?"
"Well, Let's go at the show.
Quit trying to wear me down, Sage.
I bet 5 cents you come out of the bajo saying you wouldn't have missed it for anything.
I'll take that wager.
Oh, go on and look at yourself in the looking glass.
No, but I will take that wager. Well, Gov would hate that show. Smelly Clark told me the story of it, and it's enough to make you sick. Gloria Golden is the head of a gang of diamond thieves. She's in love with the preacher, and this preacher don't know she's a crook. Gloria Golden ain't bad at heart. It's just that she craves swell clothes and jewelry. This preacher was preaching one Sunday, and down the aisle...
Well,
of the
don't
church,
tell us about it. We might go.
You're throwing away good money if you do. Smelly Clark told me frankly he'd never seen a rotten...
Don't bother, Smelly Clark.
Well, Smelly Clark...
Stare at yourself in the looking glass some more.
I guess I'm not wanted down here very much, hey, Gov?
Don't look like it, no.
Well, I'll try it on back upstairs.
Did you make that decision about your hair?
I kind of halfway believe I'll fall in with Mildred's suggestion. Wear it pompadour fashion.
Mildred have any special reason for such radical move?
Yes, she did. You care to hear about it?
Okay.
I realize you're somewhat out of sorts, Mom, so I'll cut this short. It was kind of a funny thing, Gov.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I spent an hour downtown in the public library this afternoon. I was looking through old funny papers.
An intellectual summertime recreation of the highest caliber.
Oh, that's what I thought myself. Well, anyway, it just so happened Mildred Tisdall was sitting right behind me, and when I got up to leave, she accompanied me outdoors and said she'd been studying the back of my neck.
Another highly intellectual pastime.
Uh-huh. Well, she said she made an intensive analysis of my various features. She told me she figured out me wearing my hair pompadour fashion would bring about a 100% improvement in my appearance.
How'd she reach that conclusion?
Well, in the first place, I got a noble head.
That's so?
Oh, I don't claim I have a noble head. Mildred makes that claim.
Mildred's at that silly age.
Who called to be mad at me, Mom?
I'm not mad at anybody.
Go on about your noble head, Dry Rot.
It's very much like the noble head of Julius Caesar as pictured in our Latin grammar. I never noticed the resemblance myself, but Mildred showed me where my noble head and the noble head of Julius Caesar are peas out of the same pod. So she thought that she'd be doing me a favor, suggesting I try to look more like Julius Caesar in order to bring out the beauty of my noble head.
Naturally.
Are you personally acquainted with Julius Caesar?
No, he died prior to my birth.
I mean, are you personally acquainted with his appearance? Have you seen pictures of him?
I believe I have, yeah.
He wore his hair very, very short.
Uh-huh.
Wearing it short revealed the lovely contours of his head, and all its quiet beauties were exposed.
Sure.
Now, in my case, I can't do that. Very, very short hair ain't the style. Of course, it'd show up the quiet beauties of my noble head, okay? But still, various ignorant people get the idea I was a country jake.
Well, that's right.
So Mildred suggested I go to the other extreme, wear my hair very long. That way I could comb it down slick, see, revealing the rich curves of my skull to breathtaking advantage.
Yeah.
In what they call the streamline type.
Oh, that's so?
Yeah. Mildred whipped out that fact. Probably ain't just the thing for me to say about myself. Sounds too braggy, but right here at home with my folks, I guess it's okay.
What is the streamline type?
Well, guys with features like mine are streamline types. You know, noble head, warmly carpeted with hair, intelligent eyes flashing beneath manly brows, a strong, determined nose nestling between healthy cheeks, sensitive ears placed neatly close to the scalp, a rich, curving chin that proclaims to all the world, here is a man to be feared, a sweet, generous mouth that opens in a smile revealing sturdy teeth and delicately tinted gums, an appealing throat through which sobbing red blood courses its happy way through the veins and arteries.
Well, that's enough.
Huh?
I say that's enough. I'm getting kind of sick.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sade.
What?
Still want to go to that picture show?
Gloria Golden?
Uh-huh.
Sure, you bet.
Okay, get on your hat. This man's spiel about his sweet mouth and warm throbbing throat gives me a funny taste in my mouth. I think watching Gloria Golden helped me get rid of it.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.